Join the conversation. Email pippah at capetalk.co.za.
Time for our new pet feature, which is brought to you by Regal Pet Health. Go to regalpethealth.com for more. I have lost count of the number of listeners who have contacted us concerned about their animals in light of Armed Forces Day. You've heard John referencing the planes flying overhead. You've probably heard some of the noise going on the last few days. For those who aren't up to speed, this annual event essentially acknowledges the role of servicemen and women, but it's being held in Cape Town this year, not just on one day, but a whole week of activities. There have been opportunities to go and visit naval vessels in the V&A waterfront. There's a big military parade happening in Tableview on Thursday. Specifically, what most people are worried about, though, is the night shoot, which is planned for Sunrise Beach in Musenberg tomorrow evening, a so-called capability demonstration. And it's not just about what's happening tomorrow night. There is a rehearsal this afternoon and this evening. So you can expect to hear more of those very loud, low-flying aircraft. You can expect to hear the noise of artillery fire from 3 until 4.30 this afternoon, from 7.30 until 9.30 this evening, and then again from 7.30 to 9.30 for the event itself tomorrow evening. The big question, though, is what does it mean for our pets? Here, let me just share with you one of the emails that came in from Penny, saying, you know, the day after Guy Fawkes last year, someone called into Cape Talk saying he had counted 10 dead dogs on the N2. This is a marine protected park we are talking about. The noise for pets and marine life is going to be utterly terrifying. It is unnecessary and irresponsible. Penny believes it is a show of force by government because of the impending elections, and she is one of many residents who thinks it shouldn't be happening at all. I know that there were some efforts to get a petition going, an interdict to stop the event, but as far as we are aware as we speak now, that has not been successful. So we are anticipating that within the next 15 or 20 minutes, the rehearsals are going to start. What does that then mean for pets, for marine life in the Musenberg area? Why is it that animals particularly suffer so under loud noise conditions? And very importantly, what can you do to help them cope with those conditions? These are questions I would like to put to my guest this afternoon. Aileen Papers is a veterinary behaviorist who has a behavior consultancy called Pets at Play, also works extensively with the Tigerberg Animal Hospital. And Aileen, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Lovely to have you on the show.
Hi, Pippa, and hi to all the Cape Talk listeners.
Can we just perhaps start by explaining why it is so distressing for animals? We're not just talking about the inconvenience and the startled response that a human might have hearing that plane fly overhead. Animals hear much more intensely than we do, don't they?
Absolutely. Dogs and cats both have extremely sensitive hearing, and they're able to hear much higher and lower frequencies than their human guardians can. But that doesn't necessarily mean that all dogs and cats are scared of noises. So you're right when you mentioned the startle response. So lots of animals can startle when they hear something really loud, but then they recover from that. But there's also this category of animals that experience this intense fear when they hear these noises. And this can range from mild fear, which we usually call sort of a noise aversion or just a bit of noise reactivity, to really intense panic conditions when we have true noise phobias.
And I mean, you speak about phobias. We only need to think about what we go through as humans when we're exposed to something that frightens us. We hear about that fight or flight response. Animals go through pretty much a similar sort of response, don't they?
Absolutely. So if you've ever felt any form of anxiety or fear, so you know anxiety is that sort of icky feeling you get in your stomach when you're worried about something, and it's your body having both a physical and an emotional response to something that hasn't even happened yet. So a little bit how I was feeling before this interview started.
Sorry.
Fear, on the other hand, is a reaction to something within your environment. So for some people, it can be things like spiders or snakes or heights or public speaking. And in animals, we often have this intense response to noises. So it produces a physical reaction, and we sometimes categorize them by calling them flight, fright, freeze, or fiddle. So you have dogs that are so fearful that they will try and escape. And in the true noise phobias, they're just trying to get away from wherever they are. So if they're inside the house, they'll be trying to get outside. If they're outside the house, they're trying to get inside. They're just really trying to escape the sound that they can hear. And then other dogs will run outside and bark at the noise. It's their way of trying to sort of chase it away. A lot of animals show really fearful body language, and they become quite kind of frozen, and you might try and offer them something tasty to eat or try and distract them, and they'll just kind of be on edge and frozen. Mm. And then you also get animals that will just like really hide their fear very well, especially cats. even though they're predators, they're single hunt predators, you know, they hunt on their own. So they get very, they can't be exposed to too much danger. And so they tend to just kind of like hide their fear really well. And people may not even recognize that, although I think lots of cat owners do recognize the fear of vacuum.
Okay. Lots of important stuff here. Aileen, and I do want to talk about what we can do to help them. But before we get to that, is there any long-term damage? I mean, it's one thing to get your pet through the immediate trauma of whatever is frightening them and helping them with the next couple of hours worth of noise. I'm interested to know, do we see long-term impact on those animals as a result of exposure to this kind of fear?
It really depends on the individual animal. And, you know, there's no real single theory for why some animals have this response to loud noises and others don't. But what most people agree on is that genetics contribute to it. So we do see it in some breeds of dogs that they're more sound sensitive than others. Early socialization, learning, and the environment that the animal lives in can all contribute to the development of noise phobia. So you may actually have an animal that at this point in time has just got a noise sensitivity or a noise aversion. And when they hear, when they have experiences like this, it can worsen and they can then develop true noise phobia. So some animals don't. They'll be completely fine and they'll just hear the sounds and recover from them. But when you've got an animal that's already predisposed or already suffering from this condition, it can worsen. And you also have animals that have sort of comorbid conditions where they're already a little bit separation anxious or they already have a bit of generalized anxiety, and something like this can really impact on them long term.
Okay, I've got a caller on the line who wants to, I think, ask a question or make a comment. So let's go to David, who's in Musenberg, before we carry on with what we can do to help our pets. David, good afternoon. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good afternoon. It's not really about pets. Well, we've got friends that's moving tonight to Somerset West to get out of the area because of the noise. The noise that we've had the past couple of days has been unbearable. But we got notification from the Marina Musenberg website that even adults, the ordinary, we must, for the people living in the Musenberg area, we have to wear special earplugs for the airplanes that's coming over. And it's not just the ordinary foam earplugs, it's a special waxy one, and it costs 166 rand at the chemist.
Oui.
And I just think it's totally unacceptable that the city council even approved this exercise. On Thursday, in our the Musenberg News, J.P. Smith said that they still have not approved this exercise. But if you look at all the equipment that's already on Musenberg Beach, and I also want to warn people who's thinking of coming down to come and watch it. There's no parking. They've blocked off all the parking, the public parking areas down at Musenberg Beach because of all the equipment and the trucks that brought the stuff down. It's just totally unacceptable. The Navy hasn't got money to send their ships to sea, but they've got all these millions of rands for
a show of force is what it is. David, thank you for raising several very important points. Obviously, people affected as well as animals, and I hear what you're saying about approval. I can tell you that I received about an hour ago a media statement from City of Cape Town outlining all the activities for Armed Forces Day, and the night shoot at Sunrise Beach is on that schedule, which tells me that the event must have the endorsement of the city. So I think that answers the question about approval, David. Let's come back to Dr. Aileen Papers talking, just bringing it back to animals. Before we talk about helping our pets, Aileen, several people saying it's not just about domestic animals. How will wild animals be affected, including those in the hills around Musenberg and those in the ocean off Musenberg?
Oh, I must say that's probably not really my area of expertise, but what we can say is that again, if you've got an animal that hears a loud noise, they may have a startle response, which may involve trying to flee the area. And that could obviously lead to some animals being injured in their attempts to flee. But if you have an animal that doesn't have a sound phobia, they may just get a fright and then recover from that and kind of be able to carry on with living. But obviously, if it goes on for a period of time and they try and escape out of the area, they may end up getting injured, crossing roads, and In terms, yeah, I really can't give too much comment on marine life.
Okay, no, fair enough. That's not your specialty. Fair enough. Let's then bring it back to our domestic pets and what we can do for them. So if you know that you have an animal which is prone to noise, anxiety and phobias of the kind you've just described, what can we do to try and make this as little distressing as possible for them?
So I always find it really helpful to explain to clients that if they have a fear themselves, like if they're scared of spiders, if they really think about how they would be impacted if they suddenly had to be exposed to spiders in the same way that their pet has been exposed to loud noises, it sometimes helps them to understand and kind of get in their pet's brain a little bit. So, yeah, unfortunately, the bad news is that if your pet does already have a noise phobia, there are no quick fixes, and it does take a long time to treat this kind of condition. But there are many things that people can do to try and help the pets cope a little bit better and help them not to suffer so much from the situation. And first on that list would definitely be some medication. There are lots of drugs out there that can be used to help calm animals. You obviously have to get this from your normal primary vet that you take your pet to, and these often have to be administered about half an hour to an hour before the event. So knowing when an event is planned really makes it easy to do this. But you often do need to test the dose, because the dose can be variable dependent on your pet. And so if people haven't already kind of done this and the event is happening tonight, that may not be a solution.
Yeah.
If your pet has got a milder sort of reaction to loud noises, there are some over-the-counter products that could be helpful in helping them to feel a little bit calmer. And things like species-specific pheromones, such as the Dapril for dogs or Feliway for cats, may really help some pets to feel a little bit calmer and less anxious. And obviously, while you're at the vet, please make sure that your pet is microchipped, or if they get them microchipped, or if they already have a microchip, make sure that it's still working, so that if the worst happens and your pet does escape your property, that you at least have a small chance of getting them back.
Okay.
And then for people who are unable to get medication in time, or even if you do, there are other things that you can do, which is, first of all, creating a safe place for your pet. And generally, inside is best, as it does help to muffle some of the noise. So really, you want to be closing doors and windows, drawing curtains, closing blinds. This also helps to limit any visual stimuli. So if there are sort of any form of, you know, lights that go with the sound, that they're not seeing that as well. And really, if your pet wants to climb into your chute cupboard or hide under the bed, let them do that, because that's what's making them feel better. And then sound masking can help some pets to cope. So if you can play some white noise, or have a fan on quite high that's making, you know, some of those really hectic floor fans.
Yes.
Or if playing some classical music at a loud volume. But you just really want to make sure that whatever noise you are putting into the environment is not scaring your pet. So if you put on some really loud Beethoven or Bach and your dog's eyes just turn to saucers, then that music is not helping.
Okay. What about, I think the main thing that people worry about is if they have to take their dog outside, if the dog needs the loo, for example, sometime during the night. Any way to it's really about being very mindful of how they are secured in the outdoor environment as well.
Absolutely. So I would then recommend taking them out on a leash or with a harness, and making sure that that's fitted correctly, so that that if they do get a fright and suddenly try and bolt, that you're not going to lose control over them. Just making sure that your property is, you know, doors and gates are closed, that if you are taking them out into the back garden, there's no kind of gate left open to the front garden. So just really being mindful of the fact that when animals do get a fright, they don't react in a rational manner, and so they may just bolt for the nearest kind of escape route that they see. So bearing that in mind.
Okay.
And then obviously just comforting your pet. Lots of people have this idea that you shouldn't comfort your pet when they're really like fearful. You're not going to teach them to be more fearful of noises. They're already fearful. So providing some comfort and soothing to them is a really good way to help them feel better, if that helps them. So again, if you're trying to hug them and they're just freaking out even more, then rather just back off. But if you find that stroking, and particularly sort of like calming massage, or if you know any T-touch techniques, those are all really nice ways to just try and calm them down a little bit and give them a little bit of extra support.
Dr. Aileen Papers, thank you so much for that very, very helpful practical advice.